Yeah, thank you very much. We have joining us via telephone, as we do every so often here during the legislative session, we have Representative Mike Dodson from the 67th District here in Manhattan, former Manhattan City Commissioner and Mayor. Good morning, Mr. Dodson.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Good. Before we get started, you know, you've all been talking about how cold it's going to be over the next couple weeks, and just remind everybody that make sure whatever heating device you've got in your house is certified, and ask people to check in on their neighbors at this particular time. A lot of times we have some fairly serious incidents, you know, when this happens, so you got to be careful.
Yeah, we're about to take a nosedive in temperatures. That's a good point. Well, as far as this past week, it's been pretty nice, but so probably traveling to Topeka hasn't been too hard. What's the last week in the legislature been like? Any new bills that you'd like to discuss?
Yeah, I mean, I think overall, one of the issues we're having right now is, you know, when the legislature terminated early last year, we've got a lot kind of backed up, and those were, some of them were just about done, and some of them were a little less advanced. Some of them were just waiting to be passed. So we're trying to look over as many of those as carefully as we can, make sure there's still good legislation. This week on Wednesday, we took on a few, and some of them were almost what you'd call below the line, that is, you could do on a consent basis, but just because we want to be very careful, we put them before the full House. A lot of these had to do with criminal justice. We had extended the term of the Criminal Justice Reform Commission. They hadn't quite finished. Obviously, the COVID had interrupted some of their business. We also had some bills on stalking, some bills on sexual assault and how those would be handled. We had House Bill 2090, which essentially made sure that if a military person serving in an official capacity was called on active duty, that he would be returned to that position, much like we do for National Guard and Reserve when they come back to an employer. So that went through pretty quickly and made a lot of sense. We also had a little bit of work on audit, that is, to make sure we're looking into waste, fraud, and abuse. And those were, I think we passed, if I remember right, 8 or 9 on Wednesday, beginning at 11. So those went pretty well. We've got in Commerce, we've also got a bill that's coming up, and we're working that pretty hard. Some might ask, why is it in the Commerce Commission? But basically, we're trying to make sure that people who are either getting out of service or those who are doing more remote work, as is the case today and growing, that we can properly license those people. One of the big issues that we've pushed for 2 or 3 years, or maybe more than that now, is making sure that particularly spouses of our military members are accommodated for licensing, because a lot of times when they come in, they've got to wait a long time or things don't match up for them. So that one is being worked pretty hard in the Commerce Committee. And there's kind of two tiers here. One is overall, and then one is making sure that the military members and their spouses move to the top of the queue. So it gives a little less time for consideration, but there are a lot of safeguards. We've got a little bit of pushback from some professions, such as healthcare. We've given them some carve-outs on that just to make sure that safety is a consideration, because there's so many different healthcare professionals. You know, they range from nurses all the way to neurosurgeons. So you've got to make sure that all that's done right. And we've also had discussions with architects and engineers, and I think we've tried to accommodate all that. One of the reasons that that even came up is the language required by Department of Defense to make this thing logical for them has also kind of caused some concern for our architects and engineers and a few others. So we're trying to make it as good as we can, and this is one of those times that I think the greater good is served by the way the bill is written now. An emerging issue that we've been working in the Commerce Committee, too, is this thing of unemployment fraud. As you know, the IT systems up there are very old, and this is kind of like an old car that you drive around town and nothing happens. You think it's okay, and then you take it out on I-70 and it breaks down. But once we got all these claims, the system was just overloaded, didn't work well at all. So I think part of what Department of Labor was trying to do, honestly, is get the checks out the door to serve as many people as they possibly could. And along with that, the incidence of fraud began to increase. We really had no way to check on the front end. You know, if you're all about speed, then some of the cautions that you might have taken to check Social Security numbers, addresses, names, and those kinds of things against the records that the employer had don't get properly done. So if you look at the numbers, in absolute numbers, these are not percents. Kansas is third behind California and Illinois. And we have 3 million people, and we account for 9% of the fraud in America on the unemployment. So it's fairly apparent that some whole body of thugs have kind of figured out that our security system on IT was not very good, and therefore it was ripe for fraud. There's a lot of steps being taken. I know that you guys talked about the shutdown that we had from, I think it was last Friday to Sunday night or Monday, was meant to install some IT checks through LexisNexis so that when a claim came in, it could at least be checked to make sure everything matched up. So we felt that was necessary in order to kind of stem the tide of fraud, and then there's still a huge amount of work to be done to go back and make sure that people got paid properly, and we're still addressing that. There's still people who can't even get their claims done simply because of the workload up there. So the other kind of fallout from this is, as you may know, the employers and the unemployment trust fund have to pay the money in order to cover that fraud. In other words, when somebody commits fraud and you don't know it, you still pay the bill. So the bill, typically the check is sent to a U.S. bank, and then within minutes that bank sends it to another logically overseas bank, and the trail disappears. So we had $1 billion in the trust fund going into this, and we're down to, by some estimates, about half of that. And if you look at the rate of burn, it doesn't look good. So we're trying to figure out how to make sure that the employers are not done for all of this. It, you know, if you look at a mid-range employer who's unemployment has surged by 400 or 1,000%. You just can't digest that. So the same is true for our trust fund, and refinancing the trust fund is not going to be much fun either. So we've got, that one's a big challenge, and Department of Labor, I know, is working hard, but boy, it's really tough to break through this thing. We've asked them to hire as many people as they can and get them trained up so we can get our all our citizens taken care of, but it's really a daunting issue.
Yeah, it sounds like it. You've already answered a couple of my questions here and that, but as far as you know, how much money we've lost, that sounds so really about a $500 million roughly is about what we've.
Yeah, I'd say that. I mean, some of the briefings we had, you know, show that the burn rates, we've only got about maybe 2.5 months if the rate continues of funds in there. So. We haven't received the quarterlies from, you know, revenue coming in from the employers yet, but nonetheless, it's, I think going on 2.5 months is going to be a big challenge. Like I say, part of this hasn't been processed yet, but from what we know already, and given that the IT system has kind of plugged the hole now, we hope that it's not going to go much beyond that.
Yeah, I know a lot of folks are still hurting, waiting on payments, and boy, we want to make sure that they get their money. We don't want to be paying out to people who are defrauding the system. I may ask you, Representative, a little bit. Governor asked, or she announced, I should say, about possibly supporting medical marijuana as a means of helping supplement funding for Medicaid expansion. It's certainly an interesting idea. It's garnered some attention. What is your take on that?
Well, I think, quite frankly, that the linking of those two has not helped the case of either. You know, given the way that votes are taken, you really don't want to link together two kind of what I'd say are relatively controversial ideas, because one pulls back the other. So. I think that medical marijuana, if you look around the states around us, I think there's very few states that now have not approved some form, that is, whether it's medical or recreational use or something like that. And, of course, the appeal there is that there's a good deal of revenue that comes with it. But a lot of people, particularly those who are older, have real reservations about this, just because there's been real no effort by, let's say, the scientific community to speak out on whether or not this is really a therapeutic remedy or not. And then on Medicare, you know, I mean, there's still a lot of rhetoric going on there about whether or not this will really help our rural hospitals, the ones that are really in trouble. So, you know, we've got to sort out a lot of things. We've got to get the facts right so that we can inform the people properly. And I just got a note this morning about this. And so I've got to dig into this a little bit about how this Medicare expansion might work. That is the distribution of the revenue between what you might call large hospitals and rural hospitals. That hadn't really come up before, so I've got to look into that.
All right. Well, certainly a lot of stuff going on in Topeka right now, and we certainly always appreciate it. Anything else before we let you go?
Well, I just, you know, I got my shot on Wednesday up in Topeka simply because they decided that a lot of people are up in Topeka, particularly those in western Kansas. The legislators don't really, I mean, they don't have an option like maybe Ron Hyland and I in Sydney have driving up there every day. So they're stuck, you know. And so if you waited for them to get shots by in their local county, it probably wouldn't happen because it wouldn't match up. So they did offer down at the Armory a week for Kansas, state of Kansas employees, and the Armory ran that very well. I mean, they had it out on the gym floor and everything that seemed to go well, plenty of parking, all that. And, one of the things we've been working at, one of my office mates there is a doctor, and he's also on the health committee. And we've been talking about, you know, the kind of how many doses that a county might get and then how you might allocate those. And so I really have been pressing KDHE to find finer lines in those. Like now we had phase two, which is 65 and above, plus some essential workers, and there's a large cadre in there. I think it's over 10,000. So particularly those who are older and have complicated compromised immune systems ought to go to the head of the line, in my opinion. I mean, this is kind of the same logic as vaccinating those who are in assisted living homes where everybody's together, and that's where something over 45% of our fatalities have come from. So this is all about saving lives, and so I think our health department did a good job of adjusting after the first one, and the one at Seco Park, from all the people who have talked to me, said it went pretty well.
Yeah, it's certainly an interesting time, and it's nice to see the vaccines are rolling out pretty efficiently now. Representative Dodson, we got to run, but we sure appreciate the time here this morning, and thank you so much for keeping us updated.
All right, good to be with you as always.